thinking that was Daddy's way of saying no. To learn under the aegis of Father Rafe cast her into a joy which she didn't show, for by this time her adoration of Father Rafe had turned into an ardent, very girlish crush. Knowing it was quite impossible, she permitted herself the luxury of dreaming about him, of wondering what it would be like to be held in his arms, receive his kiss. Further than that, her dreams couldn't go, as she had no idea what came next, or even that anything came next. And if she knew it was wrong to dream so of a priest, there didn't seem to be any way she could discipline herself into not doing it. The best she could manage was to make absolutely sure he had no idea of the unruly turn her thoughts had taken. As Mary Carson watched through the drawing-room window, Father Rafe and Meggie walked down from the stables, which were on the far side of the big house from the head stockman's residence. The station men rode raw-boned stock horses, which had never seen the inside of a stable in all their lives, just shuffled around the yards when penned for duty, or frisked through the grass of the home paddock when being spelled. But there were stables in Drogheda, though only Father Rafe used them now. Mary Carson kept two thoroughbred hacks there for Father Rafe's exclusive use. No raw-boned stock horses for him. When he had asked her if Meggie might use his mounts also, she could not very well object. The girl was her niece, and he was right. She ought to be able to ride decently. With every bitter bone in her swollen old body, Mary Carson had wished she had been able to refuse, or else ride with them. But she could neither refuse nor hoist herself on a horse any more. And it galled her to see them now, strolling across the lawn together, the man in his breeches and knee-boots and white shirt, as graceful as a dancer, the girl in her jodhpurs, slim and boyishly beautiful. They radiated an easy friendship. For the millionth time, Mary Carson wondered why no one save she deplored their close, almost intimate relationship. Patty thought it wonderful. Fee, log that she was, said nothing as usual, while the boys treated them as brother and sister. Was it because she loved Rafe de Bricassart herself that she saw what no one else saw? Or did she imagine it? Was there really nothing save the friendship of a man in his middle 30s for a girl not yet all the way into womanhood? Piffle, no man in his middle 30s, even Rafe de Bricassart, could fail to see the unfolding rose. Even Rafe de Bricassart?